Good morning. I greet all of you in Jesus' name. This morning I want to look at a story that Jesus gave to the Pharisees. And the song we just sang applies very well to the story, so thank you for that, Shane. It wasn't planned, I guess, but it worked very well. So the story this morning is in Luke 15, verses 1 through 31 is what I will read. The story I want to look at especially is the story of the prodigal son. I just got done reading a book by John MacArthur, A Tale of Two Sons, so a lot of the thoughts I have come from his writing. So Jesus, as the master storyteller, gave this parable to rebuke the Pharisees and the scribes for their legalistic, hypocritical religious lives. The parable has a prominent theme of forgiveness and divine grace and came after being accused of receiving sinners and eating with them. The three parables Jesus gave were designed to illustrate the wicked unreasonableness of the Pharisee position and to expose their hypocrisy once more. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, he was a friend of sinners, as was accused. However, there is an important distinction to be made here. Jesus did not consort or seek fellowship with sinners in their sin. His overtures to sinners were always in the context of seeking their salvation and offering grace and mercy and extending to them forgiveness. So let's read these stories that Jesus gave. Verse 1, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I've found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me. I found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up, went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come back," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So the first two parables were a prelude to the story of the prodigal. The first story of the shepherd's lost sheep and his joy in finding the sheep while still having the 99 is a picture of the joy in heaven when one sinner repents over the 99 persons who need no repentance. And the story of the lost coin illustrate the same point. In these two parables, Jesus uses imagery that is easy to relate to. Who doesn't know the joy of finding a prized possession that has been lost? Heaven's joy over the redemption of sinners is ecstatic, over-the-top kind of exultation. In the story of the Son, the Father is eager to initiate forgiveness and recognition with his Son. That aspect of this parable echoes the previous two parables, where the shepherd diligently sought his lost sheep, the woman feverishly searched for her lost coin. Each of those images pictures Christ as the faithful seeker. He is the architect and the initiator of our salvation. He seeks and draws sinners to himself before they ever would think of seeking him. Every aspect of our salvation is his gracious work. The typical sinner wants out of the morass of sin, and his first instinct is to devise a plan. He will work off his guilt. He will reform himself. But such a plan will never succeed. The debt is too great to repay, and the sinner is helpless to change his own status. He is fallen. He cannot alter that fact. So the Savior intercepts him. Christ has already run the gauntlet, taken the shame for himself, suffered the rebukes, borne the cruel taunts, and paid the price of the guilt in full. He embraces a sinner, pours out love upon him, and grants complete forgiveness and reconciles him to God. Jesus mentions the three gifts the Father gave his penitent son: a robe, a ring, and sandals. The sandals were an important gesture of full reinstatement as a son. Since slaves customarily went barefoot, only masters and their sons wore footwear. The robe was even a higher honor. Giving him a robe was a great honor that no one would have normally given to a son. It was a courtesy reserved for the prestigious who came visiting. The father was honoring his son as a person of the utmost distinction. But that's not all. The father puts a ring on his hand. The ring was a symbol of authority, and since it carried the family seal or crest and was used to authenticate legal documents. So the father in this story took forgiveness to extreme. The Father is a symbol of Jesus. From Philippians 2, "Who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross." Then there's one other story in Matthew that talks of two sons. There's a couple verses in Matthew 21, 28 through 32. It's a little different story with the same meaning. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and he said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not. Which of the two did what his father wanted? "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. Even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." So we as Christians, we follow our Savior's example to forgive and to see value in those who live in sin, never giving up on those persons. And then when a sinner turns to God, leaves his sin behind, they are immediately a part of the family of God. And the overwhelming joy we have of their redemption. And I think of people that I know that have turned their back on what they know as truth and turned their back on the love of the Father. And I thought this morning we could spend a few minutes, just bow our heads and pray for all the people we know. Each of us has people we know that are living in sin or are living, even as the older son, living good lives but aren't accepting the love of the Father in their lives. So let's take some minutes here and just bow our heads and pray for those people, and then I will close in prayer. Worship you. Thank you that you love each one of us with a great love and you bought us with a great price. Just help us as we go through this life that we can show your love to the people we meet, and help us to remember that each person has a great value in your eyes. Just help us as a church to go forth as a light for you in this dark world. Bless this service this morning and the things we do and say. Bless the Sunday school as we study your word. Bless each class with wisdom and guide the discussions. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.